us, or the lengths that he went through to save my soul. To think the Father was pleased to punish him, yet pardon me. I owe my life to Christ and Christ alone. For the cost of the cross, the price my Savior paid, all the blood that he shed from the riches of his grace. May I never forget the debt my sin cost, and live forever grateful for the cost of the cross. May I never forget the debt my sin cost, and live forever grateful for the cost of the cross.
Thank you very much, Philip. You know, it's nice to hear somebody sing well, because when you travel about, you discover this: there are people who can sing, and there are people who think they can sing. And it's terrible when you have to get up after somebody that thinks they can sing, but it's good to be able to get up after somebody who can sing. And we appreciate that ministry and song very much. Thank you also to Colin for leading over the weekend. He's preaching next Sunday morning. If you want all my theology sorted out and corrected, you'll hear it next Sunday morning. He'll be preaching. And I hope he's been listening very careful, and then he can correct it all next week. But it is a pleasure and a joy to be with you. I've enjoyed being with you over the weekend. It's been a very busy week, a very busy month, and yet I was glad I was able to come over this weekend and share with you. I want to read a well-known passage of Scripture tonight in Luke's Gospel and in chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And reading from verse number 16, Luke 12, verse 16. And he, that is Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Ending there, we know that God will bless the reading of his own inspired word for his name's sake. Sometimes when we come to some of the familiar passages in the Word of God, and some of these passages that we read and we hear preached from on many occasions, we are inclined just to not pay the same attention when we're reading them. The story there, the parable we have read from tonight, that has been referred to often as the parable of the rich farmer. Now, I know that there are no rich farmers in Northern Ireland. So I want to make that statement at the start. I have never met a farmer who's rich yet, always poor. But I want to make that clear before we start. So it's sometimes called the rich farmer. Sometimes it's called the foolish farmer. But when I read the context of the parable that Jesus is speaking about, I would suggest that this farmer must have been a hard-working farmer, because obviously he has had a bountiful harvest, and he must have been working hard, not only sowing the seed, but reaping the harvest and storing it in his barns. I believe that he would have been a strong, healthy farmer. And yet, in spite of all, God called him a fool. Looking on from the outside in, we could say that his plans look good. We could say that his prospects look good. His retirement looked good. And yet God called him a fool. In fact, the Bible speaks on many things about a fool. It says you can think like a fool. You can live like a fool, and you can die like a fool. And that's what happened to this farmer. He died like a fool. And as we think for a moment or two tonight on these words, can I just suggest some simple heading tonight? I want you to think of a truth he didn't realize. A truth he didn't realize. He had had a great harvest. He had made his plans for a great future. And as the morning light comes up, he rises. You can almost see him standing at the old gate, looking over all his land, looking over all his possessions, and thinking within himself, this all belongs to me. It's all mine. It belongs to me. One of my trips to the United States, the man that was taking me back to the airport, we were driving back, and we were going down the road for miles, and he said, those fields on the left are mine. Those fields on the right are mine. And as we're going down the road, and he's saying, that's my field and that's my field, I begin to think this man must own taxes. But this man here, he looks over all that he has, and he says, it's mine. It all belongs to me. And the one thing he didn't realize was this. He was spending his last day on earth, and he didn't know it. Rises up in the morning, full of health and strength. The future is secure, materially speaking. But God said, this is going to be your last day on earth. And he didn't even know it. I would say if you had gone up to the farmer in the morning as he surveyed all that he had and said, you see all this? It's mine. If you had turned around and said to him, do you know this is going to be your last day on earth, he would have thought you were a fool. He probably would have mocked you. And yet, he was a strong, healthy man in the morning. But before the day was gone, he would be in eternity. You see, he didn't realize that that was the day he had an appointment with God. Had an appointment. Remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, Barzilla asked the king a question. He says, how long have I to live? That's a question none of us can answer tonight, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. This could possibly be the last gospel meeting you will be in, or the last gospel meeting I will be in. This might be God's final call in the service tonight, and you don't realize that this is your last day, your last gospel meeting, your last opportunity to make your peace with God. Remember Belshazzar? In the Old Testament, Belshazzar had a party for 1,000 of his lords. And all the time they were rejoicing in the party, the enemy was standing outside the walls of the city. It was his last day. And he did not know it. The farmer, on his last day, if only he had known that this was his last day, things would have been different. Just a couple of months ago, I was up at a funeral up in Shankill, my home church. And when we were in the hall for tea after it, one of the men came in and he said, there's a fella standing out here and he's looking for you, but I think he's drunk. And I went out. And sure enough, one of the fellows that we used to knock about with in our younger days was standing outside and he was asking for me. And then he said to me, where are you now? You still away up the country somewhere? I said, no, I'm just outside Hillsborough. And he said, I'm going to come down some night. Going to come down some night. And I asked him, do you ever see another fellow who we knocked about with? He says, yeah, he says, we drink in the same pub. And I says, will you tell him you were talking to me and you're coming down to the service some Sunday night and I want you to bring him with you? And he says, I'll tell him. A few days later, I lifted the telegraph. My wife always likes to get the telegraph because she says they always die in alphabetical order. And she likes to look down, and lo and behold, there was a notice of this boy's death. He never made it. He never made it. It was his last opportunity, but he missed it. There was a truth he didn't realize. He didn't know he had an appointment with God. Something else you see in this parable that the Lord tells, not only the truth he didn't realize, but there was a future that didn't materialize. A future that didn't materialize. His plans, his hopes, his dreams, they were shattered when God stepped in. All he was thinking about was time. All he was thinking about was his barns. All he was thinking about was his pleasure. But he did not realize that he was going to have to leave it all behind. The psalmist, when he was speaking, reminds us of people who get the impression that they're going to live forever. We have all got that impression. We hear about this tragedy. We hear about another tragedy. But we never think that it could be us next. And all the plans and all the dreams will be shattered when God steps in. There is no trailer on the back of a hearse. You brought nothing into the world, and you'll certainly take nothing out of the world. When that appointment comes and your time comes, then God will take you from it. And whether you want to let it go or not, God will take it from you. A future that didn't materialize. What a future. The only guarantee we have tonight is the breath in our body. Breath in our body. Because we don't know when it's going to happen. Then we need to be ready when it does come. It was Dr. Arnside who told one of his experiences of when he was preaching in California, when a young girl appeared whose life bore all the marks of sin. "What about your soul?" Arnside said. She says, "Ain't got one. Don't try to scare me into religion. Wouldn't I look well joining you folks? No, I'm in for a good time. And then when I get older, I will get religion." The next day, the undertaker got in touch with Arnside. But a young girl who'd been partying and came home drunk fell into bed and never wakened again. And asking Arnside if he could bury this little girl. He says, "When I went to sight of the grave of some of her friends, and all I could hear them say was, 'And she was only 17. She was only 17. God took her. God visited. And her whole future was shattered when God stepped in. Listen tonight. From the depths of my heart, I say to you, one day you're going to have to leave it. You're going to have to leave it. God is going to take you from it. The problem for you tonight is this. You don't know when that day is going to be. And it could be this day. It could be his plan. We're all shattered. I was in the pastorate for over 40 years. Many experiences over those years. But I discovered that most people, if you ask them, everybody you ask, they all want to go to heaven. Yet, they have no time for God on earth. I mean, think of it tonight. How could I expect to spend eternity in heaven with God if I have no time for God down here? It doesn't work like that. His future plans and hopes and dreams were shattered. They were shattered. There's a third thing here which I believe we need to understand tonight. If there was a truth he didn't realize, he was surveying his land and his possessions for the last time. If there was a future that didn't materialize, God shattered all his plans. There was an eternity he didn't visualize. He did not think that before the day would pass, he would be in a lost eternity. Didn't realize, never dreamed that that would be his last day, and he would lift up his eyes in a lost eternity. Collins already mentioned it in prayer. The harvest was past. The summer was ended. And he was not saved. He was not saved. That could be your case even tonight. God steps in, takes from you what you would love to hold on to, and you suddenly discover you're in a lost eternity. When we were married at first and living in Belfast, living in a troubled area, some nights when I was going out, you didn't know whether you were going to get back in again or not, if they would block the streets, cut the area off. And you know what it's like, you're just married and she thinks the world of you. And every night I was going out, she was saying to me, "Now, you be careful. You be careful." Funny, she never said that coming out tonight, but she said it then. "You be careful." And I said to her one night when I was going out, I said, "Listen, if some night I don't make it home, remember this. Before you can shed the first tear, I shall have seen the King in all his beauty." And she just looked at me and she says, "It's all right for you. You don't have the sense to worry." But listen how true that is. Before the first tear would fall, my soul would have moved out from my body and into the presence of the King for all eternity. But listen, if you're not saved, your soul will leave your body, but it will not go into the presence of the King. It will go into the caverns of the lost and the damned. Missed your opportunity to prepare for eternity. God in his love and mercy and grace pleaded with you, called you, gave you opportunity after opportunity, but you would not come. I was involved in a funeral recently, and the man that was youngest man who was being buried. And his last remarks were these: I don't want any more preachers coming to see me. Don't want any more coming to see me. On the brink of eternity, and he knew he was on the brink of eternity. But he didn't want anybody to come and talk to him about the Lord. No, you look across our society tonight. I have two daughters and a granddaughter, all teach in the high school in Dromore. I hear what's going on among a lot of the young people in the community. And down in our area, the last lot of months, something like 20 suicides. People who can't stick the pace of life, taking their own life and going out into eternity. Can you try to imagine what it would be like singing a gospel hymn in Lurgan Baptist Church, and then suddenly God steps in, and from singing the hymn in the Baptist Church, you lift your eyes in the torment of a sinner's hell because you would not repent from your sin, because you would not come and trust the Savior. It's a horrible thing when you're standing at an open grave and you don't know where the person is. My brother-in-law was 23 when he was killed. He was in the army. Got the body back home. And as we were having a service in the home, his wife says to me, "Jackie, where is he? Where is he?" I couldn't answer because I knew what happened when he died. Where is he? And this is constantly what we're asked. Where is he? Where is he? Stood beside a man that was dying. After being asked to go and see him, he said, "Just you tell the woman who asked you to call, almost persuaded." And they went into eternity. Almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. You know, God in his love and his mercy and his grace has planted between you and eternity a cross. And on that cross, the Prince of glory died. On that cross, God took my sin, laid it on him, and he paid the penalty for me on that cross. On that cross, he poured out his life's blood to make an atonement for my sin. And God had placed that cross between me and eternity. And if I'm going out into a lost eternity, I have to bypass that cross and do nothing about it. I have to bypass that cross. And just as it were, as they did when Christ was here, it's like spitting in his face. going out into eternity, mocking, laughing, spitting in the face of the one who died for you, the one who cares about you, the one who loves you, the one who wants you to spend eternity with him, the one who wants to put his hand into that horrible pit of sin that you're in tonight and lift you out and set you gloriously free? Are you just going to bypass that cross again tonight? We're in the north of Ireland. We're a privileged people. We can hear the gospel. Hear it. Let me tell you how privileged we are. I met a man in Poland in the communist years who had been in Auschwitz concentration camp. When he came, he had all the documents from that camp, still had his number on his arm. He had been in the Polish army, captured, threw into Auschwitz. He escaped and started to fight with the resistance. He was captured again and put back into the Auschwitz concentration camp. Because he was going to die, he was chosen for medical experiment. Now what I'm telling you tonight, he had documented. They said the first thing was, they rubbed an acid into his leg, and his leg swole to twice the size. And he survived. The second experiment they did was they injected like a malaria type thing into his eyes. And he survived. The third experiment, 10,000 people from that camp went through this experiment. They wanted to see if it was possible to freeze a body and bring it back to life. 10,000 went through the experiment, and only 3 survived, and he was one of them. I actually couldn't believe when I was in Israel and in the Holocaust Museum that there was a picture of this man who had survived the experiments. And on the day when I was leaving to come home, this man, he was a big, big man, and he had a big beard. And you know, when you go to these countries, you know, you go, the first time I went, I remember the pastor met me, and you kiss him in one cheek, and then you kiss him in the other cheek, and then you kiss him in the other cheek. And I was joking with him. I says, "Tell me, what night's the woman's meeting on?" And when I'm coming, this big man with a beard, and he'd been having a feed of garlic. And he just put his arms around me. He near killed me. And he squeezed me tight. And the tears were coming down his cheeks. And here's his words to me: "Please, please, please come back again and tell me more about Jesus. Nobody ever told me about him." Here we are. We've heard the story 1,000 times, but we've never done anything about it. And God calls again tonight. God brings the cross before you tonight. And he's pleading with you tonight. Don't bypass the cross tonight. Come in your sin. Repent from that sin. And embrace by faith the man who hung on that center cross. And I'll tell you tonight, if you do it, he'll perform a miracle in your life. A new birth, a whole change, a new joy, a new destination. And you know what? He has put it within your grasp tonight. All you've got to do is come. That's all. You come tonight. He'll receive you tonight. Remember leading a girl to the Lord in her own fellowship, and she was crying and crying. She was a very intellectual girl. And we were on her knees for the Lord. And she says, it's too simple. It's too simple. It's too simple. I said, but God has made it simple so that the youngest can understand it. If the younger people and those ordinary people like myself can understand it, then those who are intellectual should be able to understand it too. God has put it within your grasp. What will you do with him tonight? Maybe your last day. Maybe your plans are about to be shattered. What about your soul for eternity? Let's bow together and pray.